Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, and welcome to the Lore Boys Podcast. I'm your host, Ethan Palmer. Joining me today is Peter O'Donohue. Peter,
James.
Say hi.
Oh.
Jamie, could you just keep it down? Peter and I
yeah.
are.
Yeah.
Peter and I are talking over here, okay? You mind, buddy? You mind? Yeah? Do you have your toy? Yeah, you're good?
Yeah.
You're good in the corner?
I got my toy.
You're going to keep it down while we're recording, right, buddy? Right, champ?
Yeah.
Okay.
Buckle. it me, Peter O'Donohue. Hi. Mm-hmm.
And I guess...
James happily busy in the corner, Miller.
James always so busy in the corner. What's he doing in that corner? What's he got over there?
He's finding little origami spiders everywhere. What the fuck?
It's very, very unsettling. Welcome to the internet's number one fake history podcast. Thanks for joining us. Anybody who hasn't heard the show before, we like to talk about made-up history stuff, but act as though it were real, because in our hearts, it is real.
Yeah.
So welcome to the show. We're doing more Warhammer 40K today. It should be no surprise considering I'm the one who's hosting. So for all the longtime listeners, they know that, I don't talk about video games so much. The other guys talk about video games. I talk about other forms of games a lot more often.
Magic 40K. We did, Warhammer Fantasy thrice. I want to say something like that.
Yep. I like it. So if you don't like it, then let us know. This episode...
Find a different episode. How about that?
Yeah. Did you ever think of that? There's links in the description.
if you don't like it, I actually have my own podcast, and this was the long con because I was just waiting for you guys to get tired of Ethan so I could my own podcast.
What's the name of your podcast?
Oh, shit. It's the James Miller Busy in the Corner podcast, where I tell you what I'm really doing in that corner.
Okay, yeah. Can we get a little sample from the James Miller Busy in the Corner podcast?
Hi, James of the Lore, James the Frick, dude. It always comes Lore Boy. Sorry. Yeah.
It just comes right back. It's so natural.
Yeah.
So this episode goes out to Dalton. The topic was requested on our Discord. So if you guys want to hear your topic talked about by one of us idiots, then hit us up on the Discord. Links are in the description for that. Also, a bit of house cleaning since Dalton, did send us an email saying I may have gotten some things wrong on a previous episode. I'm not so sure I did, but agree to disagree. Two things that I may have said that I didn't mean. If you want to just consider any time we say something that sounds wrong to you, it's just Loreboy's canon. It's just our own internal canon that we think is more interesting. We're just trying to make it more interesting for you guys. We're never
exactly.
wrong.
Exactly. Yeah.
So apparently the gene seed is not one booster shot that just makes you into a godly Primarch, but it's like a whole mess of genes and organs and stuff that's implanted into people. Like, it's a lengthy operation. It's not like a, hey, I'm gonna impregnate you with my gene seed and you're gonna be a 12-foot tall 3-year-old, you know?
The Emperor isn't just hiding in the bushes covered in mud and leaves and shoots you in the neck with a dart.
Yeah, no, not so clean, unfortunately.
That'd be so much better.
Also, I may have also said that the Space Marines were only invented after the Horus Heresy. I definitely meant the Space Marine chapters were only invented after the Horus Heresy, if I said that. There were legions before then they broke up into chapters after the fact.
Okay. Like, the gene seed, is it like seed, like, the comb?
I mean, so that's kind of how we were talking about it, and I don't know if it came as the natural result of a joke. I never looked into what the actual gene seed operation entails, Dalton just wanted to let us know that it's not just cum. It's like if you cut someone open, took out their heart, and then replaced it with a heart made of cum, is what I'm gathering from Dalton's email.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense, actually.
They say that the first person to get a cum heart transplant is already born. That's how fast...
That's pretty good. So as the listeners at home will know from the episode title, but as you two probably don't know, we are talking about the Space Wolves Legion of Space Marines.
Oh, the gray ones.
I guess, yeah. I never look up what they look like because I'm not a visual person.
That's my job to do.
That is your job.
Of course, if you're in Montreal, why don't you support some local business and go to Ted's Hobby Shop? That's where I get all of my Sister of Battle minis that I've been painting. Check them out on Instagram.
Our three listeners in our hometown of Montreal, please go do that. Support your local game store, everyone.
Please buy a Ted's. He's very nice.
Yeah. I mean, while you're at it, check out Battle for Zendikar, the new Magic expansion is coming out soon. Rime of the Frostmaiden, the new D&D book, is coming out tomorrow. So support your local game store. Go down there and just give them a little what's up, a little hey. Yeah. Can I support you in this dire time?
Yeah. Now that I lost my sense of smell due to COVID, I'm much more comfortable in this game store.
There usually is kind of a funk, isn't there?
That joke has layers, man. I like it. So, the Space Wolves, known in their own dialect of Yuvik as the Volca Fenrica, or Wolves of Fenris, are one of the original 20 first founding Space Marine chapters and were once led by their famed Primarch, Leman Russ. So if anybody listening at this point is super confused about the sentence that I just read, this is our fourth episode on specific Space Marine factions. I really encourage you to go back and listen to at least one or two of the last three, because it'll just enrich this episode and make it better. Links are definitely in the description. That'll take you to loreboys.com. Anyway, for you guys... Could I ask you how you think you spell Yuvik?
Oh,
And I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, to be fair.
It sounds like Norse. Is it the U with the two dots, V-I-K?
No, good guess, though. Oh,
darn. It's G. It's G-N-U-U. Not G,
but... Gnuvik?
It's, yeah. No, it's J, not G. Close. U-V-J-K. V-J-K. Oh. V-J-K is three letters you don't often seem next to each other. Now, how would you guys spell Volca?
Normally, V-O-L-K-A.
I heard it's close to the labia.
Yeah, yeah. It's, yeah.
That's all a mystery to me, though. Volca, V-U-L-K-A,
it's,
I guess.
Drop the U. It's just V-L-K-A. I don't know why. I don't know why they do this to us.
Are they, I guess, like Icelandic themed?
Yeah, so they're the Wolves of Fenris. So Scandinavian, Norse, Nordic. Yeah. A lot of their stuff comes from there. Originally the 6th Legion of Astartes, raised by the Emperor at the dawn of the Great Crusade. The Space Wolves are renowned for their anti-authoritarian ways and their embrace of the homeworld, their homeworld Fenris's savage barbarian culture, as well as their extreme deviation from the Codex Astartes in the chapter's organization. So they're like barbarian shock troopers is like their theme. Like whereas everyone else is very Roman, very structured, very ba ba ba. They're like we descend onto the battlefield with the might of warriors.
They're like the Gallic hordes that sacked Rome or whatever.
Yeah, sure. I don't know history, but yes, I'm gonna say yes, absolutely that thing.
Okay,
that you just said, the gall of them to sack Rome. Am I right?
I don't know. I don't know nothing about this Earth you're talking about, but I know a thing or two about Fenris.
Yeah, I didn't realize that Fenrir was a Norse mythology god. Like I've seen that name, or like Fenris, like in so many games.
And stuff. Yeah, so well, I. I actually think I have a note for it here somewhere, but it, Fenris is the... Oh, here. Well, you know, we'll jump ahead to this note. So Fenris takes its name from the mythical Norse wolf, fathered by the god of tricksters Loki, that would assault the Norse gods during the final battle of Ragnarok. Most of the names of locations on Fenris are also drawn from the Norse mythology and languages of Old Earth. Its single moon is called Valdrimani, the wolf's moon.
Cool.
Ooh-woo.
Ooh-woo. Ooh-woo, wolf moon senpai. So since the days
yip,
of yif yif,
sorry.
Could you please not say yif yif on the podcast? That's for your things Jamie's doing in the corner podcast. Okay, you're mixing them up.
To the corner.
You're mixing them up. So since the days of the Sixth Legion's inception on Terra, the Space Wolves have remained a legion apart from its fellows. Its origin shrouded as it garnered a fearsome reputation for its warriors' prowess as a shock assault force, as well as tireless pursuers and peerless hunter-killer force. The Space Wolves are one of the greatest of the chapters of the Adeptus Astartes, their name and honors known throughout the galaxy. As one of the original 20 Space Marine Legions, the Space Wolves were founded by the Emperor himself over 10,000 standard years ago, if we're looking at it from current date, 42nd millennium.
Okay.
Warhammer, it really should be called Warhammer 42K. I feel like I keep harping on that, but it really should be called that.
Games Workshop, crunch at us. We can rewrite this. Yeah.
When are they going to fix it?
They'll probably wait 2,000 years. So one thing that we know about the Emperor of Mankind was that he was putting all those organs. As we've always said, he puts a bunch of organs in people. Like, we've never said that he just does a single shot or anything like that. It's always a bunch of stuff that he does to people to make them superhumans. Yeah. But we've always said that it's a lot of things, a lot of organs.
Salamanders, find the biggest set of lungs in the volcano field that you can, catch it, bring it back to me.
Set it on fire, and then bring it up.
Set it on fire. And then you got Jan McCrag. It's just like, your dad raised you to be a stronger set of lungs than this, right?
Exactly.
And then
he died for it.
Or whatever.
Punk bitch.
Yeah, exactly. And he took his dad's lungs.
Yeah. do you or someone you know suffer from mesothelioma?
You could be entitled to exaltation by the God Emperor of Mankind.
So we also know from past episodes that shortly after doing so, the Ruinous Powers, the Gods of Chaos, would take all his precious little test tube babies and whip them out into the cold, uncaring galaxy, right?
Yeah.
At this point, this is a theme.
The fact that we thought it was a genetic augmentation seems pretty... like soft core for Warhammer. I'm actually less surprised than ever that he took his perfect god babies and just stuffed them with organs. That is way more. That's way more in line with the misery of 40K that I've come to get used to and love.
I mean, yeah, sure, but it's also the golden age of mankind, so maybe it would have been a good time, you know?
Oh yeah, that's true.
What kind of meat does he use when he stuffs them?
Hot dog meat.
Oh yeah. Do you know it takes 6.1 bites for the average size mouth to eat a hot dog?
6.1?
Yeah.
Does
that mean every 10th hot dog you're taking an extra bite?
Something like that.
Oh, every 6 hot dogs.
Like, no, it's every 10 hot dogs.
It is 10 hot dogs, excuse me.
But yeah, so I guess you know what they say, the 7th hot dog is not worth your time.
I'm artist.
Or the 7th hot dog is free? I don't know how this works, okay?
The first 6 hot dogs are the hardest.
If anyone's tuning into the stream, this is how now I'm not a WoW officer anymore, so my whole raid, I just type hot dog facts into general chat. I've learned a lot about hot dogs and made a lot of friends and a lot of enemies.
A lot. More enemies. Not an unsurprising amount of enemies, honestly.
6.1 enemies. Perfect.
So the God Emperor of Mankind, his hot dog babies, they were all cast into the warp, where they'd come crashing down onto various planets. One of the pods would land outside the pretty little death world called Fenris. Grandmaster Belial of the Dark Angels would say of Fenris, "Fenris breeds heroes like a bar breeds drunks, loud, proud, and spoiling for a fight."
Nice. I thought Belial was going to be on Fenris, and I was like, Belial is from like Hebrew mythology, so strange that he'd be on Viking planet.
Yeah, he's like a demon, right?
A blood angel?
Hebrew Bible, later became personified as the devil in Jewish and Christian texts.
Yeah.
No, I think they mean in Blizzard games, not that, but okay.
Oh, okay.
That's yeah.
Why don't you tell us about the Blizzard games Belial?
the Torah lifts heavily from Blizzard.
Well, it's in Diablo. It's in Diablo. Isn't he the Lord of Lies?
Maybe. I've never really played Diablo 3, dude. So.
Okay.
Lord of Lies, the most elusive of the seven evils, and is a master of deceit. It is said that he's manipulated Asmodan into revolt against the prime evils. Check out our episodes on Diablo lore, because I'm sure we've talked about it before. I think Jamie's done an episode on Diablo, and I've done an episode on Diablo or two.
We've done like three, yeah.
We did 1, 2, and 3, I'm pretty sure. Oh, no, we did 1, 2 in Barbarians.
So. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You did Bulkathos. I didn't do like 1 and 2. I did just like, I took 2 episodes to talk about the precursors. Anyway, we're not talking about Diablo here. No, Belial is one of the Dark Angels, a Grandmaster of the Dark Angels, who we've talked about. See, I'm so bad at remembering the names of things.
Yeah.
I think it's not the first one we talked about, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. It's frowned upon for us to like dwell on other episodes while we're talking about a current episode, just like it's frowned upon anyone under the age of 18 to put ketchup on a hot dog.
God damn it!
Wait, according to who?
According to the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council.
I put hot dogs on my... Okay, you know what I put on my hot dog? 2 things, baby. Ketchup and mayonnaise.
Yeah.
And that's
pretty much heathenous, like... They wouldn't like that. You're supposed to put mustard. Once you turn 18, you got to switch to mustard or else you're...
So if it's a real brat, then I'd go mustard. You know what I mean? If it's a real dog, if it's like this like repurposed raccoon meat that we're using, then I'm just going to go ketchup and mayo.
That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah, like for my steamy, it's ketchup and onion or all dressed Quebecois style, which is like... sauerkraut or something, coleslaw and mustard. So,
yeah.
What's going on Fenris? How many hot dogs? What do they put on their hot dogs?
So they're barbarians, so I guess according to the National Council of Hot Dog Fuckers or whatever, it's just ketchup before they're 18. They're all under 18. They're all putting ketchup on their hot dog. Like a couple of fucking savages, okay? Because apparently it's totally not okay. So the Primarch of the Space Wolves had Primarch-to-be of the Space Wolves, would land upon the icy death world of Fenris, his incubation pod plummeting down into the flank of a vast mountain. Given the harshness of Fenrisian climate, it is safe to say that a lesser being would have died almost immediately upon arrival. Most babies don't survive harsh re-entry into a planet's atmosphere, is what we're getting.
Ask the Soviets
getting
about that. They send up multiple human babies.
Right, if the Soviets did it, I'm willing to bet the USA did it too. It's just the stuff you hear about, huh? I guess all that stuff would have been... Well, they must still be declassifying space stuff, right?
Like, I don't know if Putin would declassify the baby thing.
I think the states, though. I don't know how we'll never know how honest they are about what they declassify, but they say after 50 years, I think, they declassify stuff.
I declassify our space babies. They're the best babies. They came in on re-entry so fast, so cute, so plump, so little. Our space babies are the best babies.
So emerging from his smoking capsule, the infant Primarch soon encountered a deadly mother Thunderwolf. The wiki page did not have a link to Thunderwolf. So whatever you're picturing in your head, that's it.
Yeah.
Dude. He's going to get raised by wolves.
He sure is going to get raised by wolves, okay?
Ooh. Another Mowgli? How many fucking Mowglis do we have here? This is our second.
Sensing in the feral youth a kindred spirit, the giant she-wolf did not kill the transhuman child, but instead raised him alongside her cubs as one of her own. All right. The Imperium's records concerning the Space Wolf's heritage and Russ's origins owe much to the life's work of a man named... Gnarl, the Elder. So I'm glad you brought up the G-N-A earlier, because this is spelled G-N-A-U-R-I-L. Gnarl the Elder was a contemporary... Like, go ahead.
Narwheel?
What's that?
I thought it was like Narwheel? No,
G-N-A-U-R-I-L.
Oh, excuse me. All right, never mind.
You're totally excused, because you were totally wrong there. You added a W or no... only a single U. No W. Just one U.
No.
He was a contemporary of the ancient Phrygian High King Thengir. So Baby lands on this planet called Fenris, named after a wolf. Wolf god, you might say. Meets giant thunder wolf. Coincidence?
I don't think so. No. I am also imagining that every single person on this fucking planet like picks up baby, whatever his name is, and is just like, you're finally awake.
You got caught trying to cross the river too, Just like me and that horse thief over there. So Gnarl Saga, the Ascension of the Wolf King, tells of one fateful hell winter. Again, did not have a link on the wiki page, so I don't know what a hell winter is, but it's hell with one L. So it's like a,
hell is Nordic hell, so it's probably like the White Frost or the Bifrost or some shit. Like that snowstorm that's supposed to kill everybody.
The Bifrost is a rainbow bridge, right? So
I don't think it's Bifrost. I don't recall.
It's also do not recall.
Hellwinter's also the name of a great frost axe wielded by Laman Russ in the 40K.
Oh, cool. Universe. Laman Russ is the guy that we're talking about. I don't have that fun fact in my notes. So it's beautiful that you got there with a quick Google. You could tell how much deep research I did while I was hungover writing this script, huh?
He was hell hungover.
Hella hungover.
So when it's just a modifier.
So it tells of this fateful, presumably bad winter when the feral wolf child was discovered by a hunting party of Fenrisian tribesmen. So we've had a couple of Primarchs so far, you know. One of them landed, was found in the jungle by questing adventurers, and was raised in the court. Another one fought off some like Dark Eldar slavers. Another one became leader of his father's armies and led them to the north to conquer barbarian tribes. This guy's like...
This would be the Archangels, the Salamanders, and the Ultramarines that we've covered thus far, correct?
Yeah, exactly.
Respectively?
Yeah. The Space Wolves were... Their Primarch was raised by wolves in space. So...
That's pretty cool.
To be fair... The barbarian hordes of the Nordic countries, not very like well known for their prose, so this kind of makes sense.
Fair. So he's raised by wolves, and then a hunting party of people find him. Well, find the wolves, I guess. They're going to hunt wolves, because that's the thing that people do, right, is hunt wolves?
Yeah, to wear them. The scalp of a wolf with the nose and the teeth makes a good hat,
I think. So there's a Redwall book. For those who aren't familiar, Redwall is like fantasy, but it's all told from the perspective, like all the characters are like mice or shrews or voles or whatever. It ends with the bad guy wears a wolf skull on his head, and somebody just like rams him into a tree like a battering ram, and the fangs of the wolf pierce his skull and pierce into his brain.
That's awesome.
And that's how one of the books ends. I don't remember which one. I want to say no, it's not. Anyway. Super off track here.
Talking about his own trophy. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Don't get me talking about Redwall, because I read them all as a kid. Redwall? More like read them all, am I right?
Maybe that'll be interesting to cover in the future.
Yeah. Great books. Great books. Very much kids books, but great books. They find this hunting party finds them. They decide to attack the wolves. The wolf mother was slain by spears and arrows. Apparently, these people are using spears and arrows.
You can kill a thunder wolf or a lightning wolf with just regular, like, caveman weapons?
I guess. I'm still unclear why they're using caveman weapons. I guess they just ran out of bullets or something. They didn't have gunpowder on this planet. Because, like, this is the year 28,000, you know? Just so, presumably, this is a step back or two. That said,
so... Like, they kind of weaponized those spears. Just like, it reminds me of that ESPN quote, hot dogs are meant to be enjoyed, not weaponized, when a fan once threw one of their hot dogs at Tiger Woods while he was on the course.
Oh. I would love to see that.
Yeah. They also said hot dogs are meant to be enjoyed, not weaponized, when the God Emperor of Mankind decided to turn people into weapons by injecting them with hot dog meat. So,
yeah, right.
Oh, yeah.
It's a double quote. Yeah. They said it twice, yeah. They ran the same headline twice.
ESPN's still around. Yeah,
to be fair, it was 26,000 years since the last time they ran that headline. So, you know, you kind of give them, there's got to be a grace period where headlines expire, right?
Yeah, you can
recycle them. Yeah.
Do headlines expire? Is that a thing? Can we say that with certainty?
I think so. Two of the same thing can occur, so you can report on the same thing twice, especially over the course of 26,000 years.
All I can say is the sell-by date on a headline has got to be further than the sell-by date on a pack of hot dogs, because those things go off pretty quick. So. What are we talking about here? We have Lemon Russ, the child infant Primarch, raised by wolves. Wolf mother was slain by spears and arrows. The Primarch fought with terrible fury, slaying a dozen warriors with naught but his bare hands to protect his two surviving packmates, Freki and Gary.
How?
Freki and Gary.
Uh-huh. Maybe Freki.
Who are these guys?
Maybe Freki, honestly. So Freki is spelled F-R-E-K-I, could easily be Freki. And Gary is spelled G-E-R-I.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
So make that what you will, but I think it's Gary.
Yeah. So you've got a, at this point, what, adolescent Primarch and his two rave dogs, and they fight up a bunch of Vikings?
Yeah, yeah. It's his, okay, good. His pals in their fursuits.
Two EDM wolves, Freki and Gary. Yeah.
So one of the tribesmen, after seeing at least a dozen of his fellow men killed by this guy with his bare hands, is like, you know what? That guy, that's not a wolf. That's a human. That's a human, okay? Let me tell you, I know a human when I see one, and that guy there, human, not wolf. So he calls for his fellow huntsmen to lower their weapons. Like, whoa, 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 we're here to hunt wolves. I'm not gonna wear a human skull on my head. That's,
we're not barbarians, yeah, are we?
In the Warhammer universe, I would never wear a skull for decor. Come on.
No. So gaudy.
So the bloodied youth stood his ground, fangs bared. I think that's allegorical, you know. He doesn't have fangs per se. But understood their peaceful gesture and stayed his wrath. So he decides to stop killing. He's like, you just killed my mom, but I'm gonna stop now.
He somehow understands like the universal human sign of people lowering their weapons despite being from space and raised by wolves.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
All right, sure.
Well, so from space, but he was presumably a human beforehand. So maybe we could say Loreboy's canon. He like recalled some part of his like life before he was turned into Primarch. You know. Because okay. there were volunteers who took the Emperor's gene seed, or volunteers, voluntolds. I'm not okay, sure. Yeah. I haven't looked into that. I haven't looked into the actual Primarch selection process that much, but maybe some part of his old life called to him.
He might remember that when he went to a baseball game that a fully loaded hot dog vendor's cart weighs about 40 pounds. God damn it!
Yeah, I mean, every time I see a hot dog cart, that's what I think.
Yeah.
I say fully laden, that weighs... How much did you say? 40 pounds?
40 pounds. Not that much.
A hot dog vendor's cart got to weigh more than that.
It's full of water and steam and...
Like, yeah, it's a tub of water. It's a bat. He's rolling a bathtub on wheels.
Yeah. Not according to hot/dog.org. Thank you very much.
They don't know their shit.
hot/dog?
Or a dash dog.
I was like, you can't put a slash in the middle of a URL like that. Where are you on? He's just on MS Paint. He's drawn his own website with his own made-up hot dog facts on it.
Hey, it's my corner. I'll do with what I want. Okay.
For everyone who loves this commentary, please do check out the What Jamie Does in the Corner podcast.
All Jamie's origami spiders just have hot dog facts and threats inside of them when you unfold them.
So we got a man made a hot dog standing in front of a bunch of people. You know this guy's exceptional because he's made a hot dog and he lived with wolves for years and they never decided to take a bite. Yeah. And as soon as people see him, they say, that's no hot dog. That's a man. Yeah. They were out hunting hot dogs. He actually led them to his Thunder Wolf mother. unsure quite what to do, the tribesmen brought the young Primarch and his wolfkin, Freki and Gary, for he would not be parted from them, before the court of King Thengir of the Rust tribe. The aging chieftain saw the undeniable potential in the young man and ordered that he be given a place within his household, there to be raised as a true Fenrisian as a warrior. So, like a lot of the other Primarchs at this point, he's accepted. They say, you're a great warrior. That's our number one thing on this death world that we live on. So, welcome aboard, kiddo.
you lived among wolves, you must know how to kill them better than anybody. You're on. You're in.
We got a, let me tell you, we got a real wolf problem, okay? Yeah. Some of them?
Not all the orcs that they're raising are as strong as you, so we just kill them normally.
Yeah. So amongst his own kind, for the first time, Laman learned quickly their skills, showing a natural aptitude for the way of the warrior. He learned to speak and mastered their primitive weapons, iron axes and swords. Though he was quick to roar with laughter or bellow tunelessly in song, the Primarch slowly realized that he was more human than wolf, but at the same time, far superior to both.
I find it strange that the God Emperor of Mankind's children can't carry a tune, of all the things to leave out.
I mean, this one can't carry a tune, but I feel like it's part of his charm. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Is the fact that he gets real drunk and sings body tunes.
Okay, okay.
So, when Russ handed the champion of the Kingsguard his battle axes during their third sparring session, after disarming him, Thangir admitted to himself that the young man was destined for greatness. Much like a lot of the other Primarchs. Everyone's looking at him like, this three-year-old shows real potential. He just disarmed our best warrior for the third time straight. I don't know. This toddler, something to him. The Primarch soon spoke the Fenrisian dialect of Logothic with powerful eloquence, and one evening, King Thangir deemed him worthy to receive a true name. The king named the former wolf child Laman of the Rus. As the Primarch grew to maturity, he became the greatest of their number by far, leading the tribe's warriors to 1,000 victories and more. Sounds like hyperbole to me, you know, but who knows? Maybe there's that many battles to fight.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, or just hunts, yeah.
Or you just change the definition of victory.
Yeah, true. Yeah, just move the goalposts, right? Move the goalposts, but towards
planet,
you.
Idiot.
Yeah, yeah. And he who bested the Rubik's Cube.
I just can't imagine, like, Wolf Paws trying to turn a Rubik's Cube.
Fucking wrists properly.
Maybe a good time to say that Laman of the Rus is not a wolf, but simply raised by them.
Yeah, but he's got a whole army, right? It's just him who did the Rubik's Cube. I guess, yeah, he could do the Rubik's Cube.
Yeah, and he was leading the tribe's warriors, so an army of men.
I'd argue that an entire army of men have a harder time solving a Rubik's Cube than just one dude. Can you imagine?
The burden of command, am I right?
That's a good idea for a Twitch stream. Twitch chat does a Rubik's Cube where you can all type in commands and everybody's just like going against each other.
Would never happen. would never solve it. Praise be to Helix. Upon King Thangir's death, Laman of the Rus took his place upon the throne of the Rus. So the Rus is, I guess, the place that they're living upon Fenris.
So it's not like a heretical throne. He was just appointed for being the coolest.
Yeah. Okay. When you say heretical, I think you mean hereditary.
Yeah, I fucked that up.
Heretical is a very apt word to use in the 40K lingo because heretics are very much a thing, but not yet. Parapraxis, if you will. So the Wolf King did become a living legend across Fenris. It was only a matter of time before the word of his fame reached the ears of one who desperately sought news of his lost sons. Much of what is known of Lemon Russ's early years is born of hearsay and legend, as his fame quickly spread throughout the tribes of Fenris. It is said that he was able to turn back whole armies of the king's enemies by himself without a scratch, to tear whole oak trees from the ground and to snap them over his back in twain, and to wrestle Fenrisian mammoths to the ground and roast one whole for his meal that evening. So
that sounds like a cool fucking planet, though.
This is a cool fucking planet and a cool fucking dude in charge of this cool fucking planet. Yeah. You know what I mean? This guy just like gets drunk, like, hey, bitch, I could fucking tear that oak tree down to the ground, fucking snap it over my back, like,
fuck you, Lemon, do it.
Oh, you want to see me do it? You want to see me do it? Oh, you fucking do it.
Yeah, that guy is so fucking cool.
He's got like just like standard power armor, but it's just exposed chest hair in the middle.
He's got a the Space Wolf's paint job, and this is something that I did look up. It's all like you paint the pecs and you paint them like little curls of chest hair on each of the power armors.
Yeah. Abs are painted onto the front of the power armor.
sick
dude. Yeah. Jamie, were you gonna give us a hot dog fact?
Well, now I kind of feel forced into it, but you know who else is sick? It's Mickey Mouse. And Mickey Mouse's first words on screen were, hot dog!
Mickey Mouse is sick. He has COVID, so... Sorry, sorry, kids. He's,
He let all the people from Florida into his house.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that is the problem with living in Florida. So, in his time, Le Mans' leadership was recognized by all the tribes of the frigid world, for all sought to benefit from his wisdom and extraordinary skill at arms on a world where the weak did not survive for very long. So he just, like, I like to think, and I think we can make this a Lore Boys canon, that he literally just went town to town, ripping trees out of the ground and snapping them over his back, and then killing a mammoth by himself, like, wrestling a mammoth down by himself and eating the whole thing. And everyone was just like, hell yeah, dude, I've never seen anyone more fit to rule. Honestly.
That's crazy.
I don't care about...
Yeah.
Like, climate change is a problem, but I don't care what your policy on it is. That was so fucking cool, dude.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, brother.
What would the climate change problem be on what is clearly a frozen ice planet?
Too cold.
Still? Like, still? Or, like, they want to warm it up?
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Climate change. I've heard about this thing. Politicians aren't doing enough for it.
I heard about this thing that could really fucking help. It's called fossil fuel, and just hear me out. We need to dig out all of it right now.
Yeah, yeah. We need to just dig out a bunch of coal and start fucking burning it for the next 150 years. All over the planet.
Yeah, he's got like a roving band. He's like a traveling party trick merchant where he's just like, yo, you want to see me eat this mammoth? And then just like breaks its neck and eats the whole thing.
Yeah. He's like a frat bro who like does the collegiate circuit of beer pong, and he just goes like frat house to frat house and just crushes every single time, you know?
Yeah. Drinks a gallon of milk without puking, and then it's just like, oh man,
yeah. Okay, now do the spoonful of cinnamon.
Yeah, exactly.
I did that in your kitchen, Ethan. It did not go well.
At least three people have done it in my parents' kitchen, so
yeah,
all times didn't go well. he becomes leader of Ice Planet, Wolf Planet. Nobody could best him. Nobody could best the Wolf King. No tribe could stand against his armies. He's got the coolest bros on his team. Plus, he's pretty good at fighting armies all by himself. Within Le Mans' kingdom, a truce existed between man and wolf. So no more killing of thunderwolves. No more wearing wolfskins as hats. It's in poor taste when your king was literally raised by wolves, turns out.
And they wear other fur hats made by other thunder animals.
Presumably. Thunder otters, no problem. Thunder mink, so soft.
Oh, that's for rich ladies.
Yeah, yeah. A thunder mink draped across their shoulders.
Minks are really small, though. Like, they're a lot smaller than I expected them to be because of how big the jackets are.
Yeah, well...
I think that's the problem with the jacket.
There's this thing where, like, everybody in society says things are small. You know, you just meet somebody like, hey, that's small. But it's not small. It's, like, very normal.
So it takes on average 6.1 minks to make a coat.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. If anyone asks, whatever Ethan's talking about is small is also 6.1 something as
Yeah,
well.
Yeah, exactly. 6.1 whatever you want it to be. 6.1 is average. No matter what the measurement is, it's average, okay? So Le Mans' court was attended by the fiercest of warlords and the most beautiful of maidens. This is like...
Hell yeah.
This is like Conan Wet Dream, the planet. You know what I mean?
Tales... I mean, a bunch of tall blondes is also one of my wet dreams, so I'm into this.
Tales of his mighty conquest spread like forest fires, and it was not long before the eyes of Terra turned upon his deeds. When the fleets of the Emperor's Great Crusade neared Fenris, they heard tales of Fenris's extraordinary Wolf King.
I may have asked this in the past, how does the Emperor find out about tales of the extraordinary Wolfkin King, rather, especially when he's like orbiting a planet that clearly does not have technology?
Big ears.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, Lore Boys Canon, it's superhuman hearing because he's got really big ears.
All right. Yeah. That's one of the organs that's implanted into every of the Primarchs. Is big ears. Extra lungs, big ears.
Big ears. Their space marine helmets are so big to fit those big ears that they have.
Yeah, they're all like Dumbo.
So the legend of the Wolf King was quickly identified as the work of a missing Primarch, and the Emperor descended to the planet. To your point, Peter, I don't know. I think maybe they're just monitoring the planet, like they just hear. Everybody speaks English, of course. So they're just listening to various planets, and they're like, oh, people are speaking English, so there's humans there, not Eldar.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, they're talking about an extraordinary person. Probably one of my sons. Let's go check it out. I also like to think, and this might be another Lorwise canon, that the Emperor only visits 20 planets. He's just like, you know what? Maybe he had 1,000 children spread into the void, but he like found 20 after all this time. He's like, you know what? That was fucking enough. I'm not looking anymore.
Just write down that I had 20 missing children. I don't fucking care.
Write down that I had 18 missing children, because two of the records of those Primarchs are completely expunged from all Imperial records. Okay. Yeah. He's like, write down 18. Say two were expunged. That'll make it really believable.
Now, those guys, they were extraordinary, and he went and visited their planet, but it was all just made up. It was just like, making up stories over and over again. That guy sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Shows up, not his at all.
Not his
it was just a book. It's just like, oh, son of a bitch.
Or he found one of his sons, like one of his true sons, and he gets to the planet, but it's just too outlandish. It's like the lollipop planet. And he's like, oh, this is going to look really bad for my image.
Well, we had talked about
You know what? You know what? Maybe not.
We already have a little boy canon for that. It was the Candy Floss Marines and the Bouncy Castle Marines.
Oh,
are the two.
Oh, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. I'm glad I just thought of the same joke that we've already told.
That we already have. It's okay.
So the Emperor, disguised in a long plain robe and cloaked in psychic runes of disguise and confusion, entered the long hall of Russ.
I would love to see a crowd of like Viking barbarians struck with the spells of runes of confusion, where they just all like, carrying their baskets of beets or whatever, and then there's like,
so it's runes of disguise and confusion. So he's literally, he descends to this planet of people who've never met him, who use spears and axes.
I should hide my face.
Disguises himself. So he's wearing, you know, like the fucking fake mustache on the glasses with the big nose. And he's like, shows up to the planet, and everybody's just like, that's a guy that I've never seen before.
Well, like, everybody turns around and they all just naturally look like Groucho Marx. And he's just like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, I'm blending in perfectly. Those few natives that were sharp-eyed and sober, as well as the great Fenrisian wolves, shrunk from this new powerful presence. So presumably, not presumably, but the guy is like 18 feet tall. So I assume the runes of confusion are to be like, yeah, that's normal.
Did he disguise himself as like two guys in a long coat? Like he's got,
he's weaving at the hips. Yeah, like,
yeah, exactly. So... he's like pretending to be a guy in disguise to be in disguise. Lord Boy Cannon, he did, because he is the original 4D chess master, right?
Yeah, I mean, canonically, the original 26,000 years into the future.
Yes.
So Russ would refuse to pay homage to him as the master of mankind. The Emperor had known well that proud Russ would never bow to his rule without being beaten in a contest. So this sounds familiar, right? We've done this before. Emperor comes down, got to beat his kids in a contest. The Emperor was convinced of his own power and knew that such a challenge would be as nothing to him. Nothing. Easy peasy. Okay?
I beat up my kids all the time. I'll do it again.
Strange Wanderer approached the gnarled wood of the Wolf Throne and its gargantuan occupant and stood firm, staring hard at where Rust was presiding over the feast. It was then that the stranger offered his challenge.
That he was going to have a hot dog eating contest.
So that is legitimately the first challenge, okay?
What?
You didn't let me get to it, but the first challenge is a hot dog eating challenge, okay?
Dude, but Joey Chestnut holds the record in 2018 of 74 hot dogs in 10 minutes.
Yeah, who holds it in 28,000, my dude?
It's probably going to be this guy.
I ain't read that wiki yet, huh? So if the stranger won, the Emperor won, he asked for nothing but be allowed to drink at the right hand of Russ during the feast. So he's like, he knows how to play to the ego. He's like, you know what, dude? I just want to drink with you. If I win, that's all I want to do. I'm sitting at your right hand, I want to drink. Russ is like, if you fail, you're my slave for a year. And that, again, sounds kind of familiar. The salamander was exactly that. So Russ challenged the Emperor to a series of tests. The Wolf King did not wish to spoil a good feast. His first challenge was to be an eating competition.
Wow.
So hot dog eating competition. They got the glasses of water, plain hot dogs. You know, because they're the Primarch, at least he's under 18, so he's not allowed ketchup yet.
They probably got to go like under the average bites of 6.1 if they got to keep up, right? It's probably like more of a 2-bite affair.
Probably easier.
Oh, he's 12 feet tall. He could eat a single hot dog in a single bite.
Yeah.
A man so large, he could eat a hot dog in a single bite.
Less than 10 foot one is unheard of.
Yeah, he just, every time he eats a hot dog, a woman faints in the room, you know? My word.
I wonder if he could eat the world's largest hot dog or longest hot dog, which was 668 feet long, enough to cover two football fields.
Ugh.
Good.
It's a lot of raccoon meat.
So, the stranger ate well indeed, consuming many times more than the stoutest warriors present without pause. But when he looked up from his plate, Russ had already consumed three entire aurochs, which is, I guess, what they make hot dogs out of on Fenris.
An auroch is a real animal. It's like a cow.
Like an ox, yeah.
Yeah, it's a big cow.
I know, Peter, okay? Thank you for telling the listeners at home, but I know.
I didn't know. Thanks, Pete.
Because yeah. I play Magic the Gathering, and there's a tribal auroch decks where you play cows.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. No. They're super niche and not... Like, there's been, like, one expansion that I can think of where they were, like, semi-viable, but...
The mad cow level does not exist.
Yeah, there is no cow level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The stranger had lost the first challenge, so the God Emperor of Mankind loses the challenge.
It was, it's Lemon, right? Lemon Russ?
Yep.
Yeah, he's, like, sitting there, back on his throne, feet up, picking his teeth with a mammoth tusk, just like, next challenge.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you fool. I think I'd sport another, honestly.
He flicks the toothpick away, but it's a mammoth tusk, so it, like, crushes a normal-sized man.
Yeah, yeah. Crushes a table.
Like a normal-sized trash can, just like, boom!
Knocked right over. The king was enjoying his sport. He realized that the Brown Cloak Traveler had the spirit of a Fenrisian at the very least, because while he didn't finish first, hey, at least this newcomer finished second, huh?
Yeah, the Fenrisian spirit is a very second place kind of spirit.
So if the first contest is a hot dog eating contest, do you guys want to guess what the second contest is?
Booze. Let's get hammered, dude.
It's a pooping booze. Contest.
Come on. Jamie, that's your things you do in the corner contest, okay?
All right, getting back to the corner.
That's where his pee pad is.
Ew, woo.
And so Lamon Russ challenged the Outlander to a drinking bout. By the time the Wanderer had reached his sixth barrel of strong Fenrisian mead, there was no more to drink. The Wolf King had drained the entire feast dry. Once again, the Emperor had lost. The light of anger appeared in the Wanderer's eye.
The rest of the people.
Right? Yeah, he doesn't care, though. He's king.
That's true.
He's king. Who cares? Make more wheat. Make more mead, bitches.
Yeah.
Driven by disappointment in his offspring, the Wanderer called Lamon Russ a drunkard and a glutton, able to achieve nothing more in life than stuffing his face and bellowing hollow boasts. So there's nothing worse, nothing more cutting than a father's disapproval, right? the father that you never knew you had.
Yep.
The Wolf King calmly laid down the consequences of his last challenge as his court backed away as one. The court grew silent, daring not even to breathe as Russ drew his great sword from its scabbard and stepped onto the long banqueting table. The only thing that cuts worse than a father's disapproval is a longsword.
I believe that's how the fortune cookie goes, yes.
Jamie, were you going to say is a hot dog? Because I don't think hot dogs cut very well.
No, I was going to say is a longsword, so we're kind of synced up on that one.
Okay. Are you going to say some fact about the world's longest hot dog sword or something?
I've got a hot dog tip drill or something stupid. Like that.
No. I'm here for the 40K lore, dude. I was thinking he's going to cut him with the sword. Yeah.
For the third challenge, Russ boasted he could defeat the Emperor in combat. The Emperor threw away his cloak, the hood falling from his face, his true form revealed. He's like, boom, bitch, I'm tall. Everyone's like, rubbing their eyes like, what? He's been tall the whole time. One person this whole time. He stood far taller than any man present, swathed in light, and clad in Baroque golden power armor. So not only does he like pull off the cloak and is like, I'm tall, he's like shining gold power armor to all these people who are like wearing wolf furs and like have swords. Yeah.
He's basically a sun.
Right?
Wow.
He's a son facing his son, you might say. This time, the Emperor would defeat Russ. So while the guy can drink, the guy could eat. Not as good at fighting. He fells him with a mighty blow from his power glove. When Lamon came back to consciousness, He admitted defeat, and with a bloodied smile and a broken fang, he swore fealty to his true father, the Emperor of Mankind. It's like, Dad.
Nintendo Power Glove wins again.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's the ultimate gaming apparatus.
You're right.
It's so bad. I guess since it was with a punch, it's this is going to sound like punny and stupid. Was the Emperor pulling his punches just like, oh, like sipping his drink, just like, ooh, I'm so drunk. Oh, you're going to beat me. Like, was he faking it the whole time just so he could knock a fucker out?
I mean, so it was Lamon Russ who called the challenges each time. Canonically, right. he was pretty pissed that he lost the drinking contest and the eating contest. So much to say, like, oh, like he lost the contest, and then he went to the guy who was like, those are stupid contests anyway. You only care about stupid contests, you know? So I do like to think that he was pretty salty and was actually trying to win those. But also, he lost 2 out of 3, and the son is still like, yeah, you still win the big show, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I guess the story wouldn't be a story otherwise, you know? This would fall in line with the bouncy house world and the cotton candy world or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So Russ's action. Russ swears allegiance. He's a Primarch now. He gets his own crew. His actions in bringing new worlds into Imperial compliance met with such rampant success that his conquests led him into the far corners of the galaxy. With the band back together again, the Primarchs falling in line one by one, the galaxy looked like everything was coming up Milhouse. The golden age of mankind was thriving and looked like it would never stop. And as you guys know, it probably did never stop, right?
Yeah. I mean, in the far future of the 41st millennium, there is only Milhouse.
Yeah. And Betty White is still alive. And actually, she's the person who Americans most want to eat a hot dog alongside.
God damn it!
Oh, God. I mean, I'd eat a hot dog with Betty White. I mean, I would eat
she's
a...
She's 98.
I would eat a veggie dog with Betty White.
Fair.
I have a great aunt that's 98, so eat shit, Betty White.
Eat a hot dog, Betty White. Idiot.
Yeah, eat a hot dog. So everything's looking great. Things are going great, but... In an act that would scar the galaxy forever, Russ's brother, Primarch Horus, the War Master of the Great Crusade and the progenitor of the Luna Wolves Legion, as well as the most favored son of the Emperor, turned from the light and embraced the ruinous powers to fulfill his dark ambition of replacing his father upon the throne of Terra. As I've said before, it's an episode in its own right, and I am planning on doing one. The Horus Heresy would bring the Imperium to its knees, nearly destroying everything that the Emperor had worked for. Despite the treachery of many of his brothers, Lamon Russ held true to the oath of fealty he swore to the Emperor on the day they first met. So did the Space Wolves remain fiercely loyal to the Emperor throughout the Horus Heresy. They took part in some of its most renowned actions, but from these dark times more than 10,000 years ago come few details of any certainty. So, who remembers 10,000 years ago? Personally, I don't. Betty White maybe does, but I certainly don't.
Seems like it.
She remembers eating a hot dog with Cleopatra or something. Actually, Cleopatra was born closer to modern day, closer to the invention of the hot dog than she was born to the building of the pyramids. So,
yeah, 1487 is where they think hot dogs were first made, but we're not sure.
Okay, definitely closer to the invention of the hot dog. Hot dogs are much older than I thought.
Yeah,
although I bet you
it might be sausages, right?
I bet you a 15th century hot dog looks nothing like a modern day hot dog. I'll tell you that.
No, they genetically changed it. It's like old corn and stuff.
Yeah.
True. I was going to say, they didn't have the tools to pick out all the raccoon hair.
The West hadn't discovered corn in 1487.
No.
Damn, dude.
Yeah, or maize.
You ever look at, like, old watermelons, like, on the inside, there's only just, like, a little bit of the flesh?
Yeah.
And it's, like, mostly...
Yeah, it's all rind, yeah.
Yeah.
So 10,000 years ago... Or 12-ish, 14-ish thousand years ago. 8 to 14,000 years ago was a time of legends. It was an age of war. Such records as were made have not survived, and only many centuries later did chroniclers begin to describe the bloody events of those days. The Space Wolves would not be present during the final battle for Terra that ended the heresy and doomed the Emperor to a living death in the stasis field of his golden throne. Instead, the leader and his legions would be embroiled in conflicts with his former brothers, namely the Thousand Suns Legion and the Alpha Legion. But that's probably a story for another time.
Well, that's a story for another day.
Yeah, so I think my next episode will probably jump into the conflicts with the Thousand Suns Legion and the Alpha Legion, to, I hope, Dalton's pleasure.
Because, and other people, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, Dalton specifically, because he requested it. But I really enjoyed reading about Lamon Russ, and I'm planning on doing that and having that lead naturally into the Horus Heresy, hopefully. So maybe the next one will be a half Horus Heresy, half finale of this episode. I don't know. Maybe I end up doing Magic Gathering Elspeth like I promised one day. Like I said, there's a Magic Gathering expansion coming out this week. There's a Dungeons & Dragons expansion coming out this week. But all for you, Dalton. This has been all for you, not for the SEO.
We always like to check in on Texas.
It's rule number
two. It's been fun to talk about it. As long as we're having fun, everybody's having fun, I think.
Exactly.
And this has been fun. Yeah.
Peter, are you having fun?
So far.
Good. Would you have any fun if you read some emails that we might have from a listener?
I have two, meaning I would have actually more fun in that case.
Fun as well. Fun too.
Also, fun is good. So we have one here from Josh, and I'm sorry about this in advance. Josh Vaccarano? Vaccarano?
Vaccarano?
I guess Vaccarano? I don't know. His first email says, "Does Lore Boys Lizards?" And we responded, "Yes." And then he says, "Big fan. Keep up the good work. Dune lore might pull in views with the movie coming out." We've been asked to do Dune. Like, I was asked to do this maybe yesterday or the day before in person by my buddy Kyle to do Dune again. So it's like almost a dozen times now. I think we should probably get to it at some point. Ethan's the only one who's read it.
Yeah, I have this whole thing where I have read the book. I read the first book. I plan on reading the rest of the series. I read it earlier this year. And I really, really enjoyed it. And I would love to talk about it on a podcast, but I have this thing where I'm like, I don't want to spoil it for somebody. Like, if I hadn't read the book Dune, and I saw a podcast that said, "Hey, here's Dune lore," I'd be like, "Oh, well, I want it to get spoiled for me," you know? But I could, there is entire appendixes in the back of the book that are just like on the ecology of Dune and all this stuff. So maybe I could find enough to make a podcast out of that. Otherwise, it probably won't be me doing it. But if one of these other two guys decides to do it, I could just be the pseudo expert. Expert qualifications for Lore Boys is literally read the book once.
Yeah.
The first book once. The first of eight, I think. Seven or eight.
I couldn't even tell you.
Yeah.
Well, why don't they call it Dunes with an S then? Because there's that many.
Yeah. honestly, great point. I'd love to get into that, but that's an entire episode in its own, James. That's
okay.
That's a very long talking point. Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
And this one here, we're going to
thank you for the email. Well, we'll definitely look into doing it.
Yeah, exactly. And then this one here, we're going to address from your boy, your dumb Superman's dumb friend down in New Jersey. He sent us an email that we will address eventually. I think it's not something that we are going to put out publicly, but we'll get back to you, my dude. But either way, if you want to be like any of these people or like Dalton and you want to contact us, please do so at loreboyspodcast@gmail.com. A quicker and more efficient way to put in suggestions is at the Loreboys Discord, links below.
Yeah, the links will be in the description for whatever podcast app you're using, as long as it's pulling our RSS feed properly. You can also go to loreboys.com/about. It has most of our contact info. contact@loreboys.com is a great way to get in touch with us by email. And the loreboys.com has all our episodes on it. So if you're looking for a specific one, you can go search them there. If you like this episode, there's a ton of other 40K episodes. You can search them at loreboys.com, or you can just find the links in the description for this episode. I've been your host. I'm at Ethan Palmer. You can find me there on Twitter. You can also find the Loreboys at Loreboys on Twitter. Do reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you guys when we get the chance. So yeah, thanks for listening.
Yeah. And if you want Lore Boys Premium, you can get your very own. Do you have one, Ethan?
I thought you guys were going to say your ats, but go ahead.
Okay. Your very own Lore Boys hot dog meat. I made it myself in my bathtub where I wash my feet.
Yeah.
And
Wait, you made the meat? You like grew the meat or?
Well, like some of it grew over time, but I got like a little bit of meat.
Okay.
And I just tossed it in there.
I tasted and... it. It was delicious. I must say, it could use a bit of ketchup. Jamie wouldn't let me have any ketchup. I'm not 18.
But
yet.
If you want to buy it, the most expensive hot dog sold ever was $169.
Nice.
And it had Wagyu beef in it. It had like all this really nice stuff. But you can buy ours for $170. And each one that's sold after that will be sold for one more dollar. So hurry up and get yours. Or wait until the last one and you'll have the record for the most expensive hot dog ever sold.
The most expensive hot dog. Yeah.
That's good.
Jamie's tub meat, as we call it.
Yeah.
Tub dogs. Go to tubdogs.com.
What's going on in the corner? It's tub meat.
If you want to find me, it's at Pete O'Donohue or at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram. Come check out my 40K minis and our episode art and sometimes pets. I don't know. Or a funny stop sign that I saw this week. Like, that's kind of like a thing. That's just a thing that we do on the internet now.
Yeah. My phone's broken, but if I go to the payphone at my local Depenar or corner store, there's a thing that says UCM police, and then underneath is the French version, and it says police come. I'm not sure why. I'm not sure what that acronym's for, but it's kind of cool.
And I guess that would constitute.
What about the Patreon if you want to pay us?
A Lore Boys come out. A Lore Boys come police. Whoop whoop. goodbye.
A sloppy ending,
leave us a like and a review. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.